Radio Parisha Bodan Fudanet. Radio Bensian Fene, we zitten de juiste tijd toe. Wilt u reageren? Belgen is 020 33 76 183 of 33 42 32 8. En we gaan meteen doorschakelen naar Amsterdam-Oost. Een goede nacht, zuster Emma. Goede nacht, zuster Emma. Zuster Emma. Goedenacht, zuster Emma. Goedenavond, zuster Emma.
Goedenavond, meneer Kaur.
Wat probleem, maar ja, het kan gebeuren. dat hoort erbij.
Ja, geen strijd, geen overwinning.
Klap je, als we...
Ja,
als we
nemen alles rustig.
Zo
maar
is
Jezus is overwinnaar.
Amen, zo is het. Gaat u
gang.
Gaat u gang en bedankt, hè.
Ja, geen dank, meneer Kaur. Ja, lieve luisteraar. Ik groet u in de wonderbare naam van onze Heer en Heiland. Onze Heer Jezus Christus, die is gegeven alle macht in de hemel en op de aarde. Luisteraars, het is tijd voor het Bijbelleesplan. En u weet, het Bijbelleesplan komt van Gospel Radio Zefania, waar onze Heere Jezus Christus centraal staat. Ja, luisteraars, we gaan de Heere loven, we gaan de Heere prijzen en danken voor zijn goedheid en voor zijn genade. Ja, trouwe Heiland, we loven en prijzen uw machtige Jezusnaam. We geven u de eer, de lof en de prijs, omdat u waardig bent te ontvangen. Alle lof en alle eer, Vader. Vader, we danken u voor de bijstand van uw Heilige Geest, Vader. We danken u voor deze momenten, Vader, van aanbidding, Vader, van lofprijzing, Vader. Om uw naam te verhogen, mijn Heiland. Want u bent zo machtig, Vader. We danken u, Vader, dat u de eeuwige Vader bent, dat u de vredevorst bent en dat u de wonderbare raadsman bent, Vader. Ja, trouwe God, we danken u voor de bijstand van uw Heilige Geest, Vader. En we danken u dat we zuster Marlène en broeder Cor voor uw genadetroon mag brengen, Vader. Glorie en aanbidding voor uw machtige Jezusnaam. Vader, we danken u, Vader Jezus, voor uw woord, Vader. We danken u, Vader, dat u gaat helpen, Vader. U gaat ons wijs maken, Vader. U bent overwinnaar, Vader. U bent onze voorziener. U bent onze wonderbare raadsman. U bent onze sterke God, uw vredevorst, Vader. U helpt overal door mijn God, Heiland, Jezus Christus. Want u bent waardig. Waardig te ontvangen alle lof en alle eer. Vader, u bent de helper. Groot van kracht en steeds bereid, Vader. U bent zo dierbaar, Vader. U bent zo goed, Vader. En we danken u voor uw goedheid en uw genade en uw barmhartigheid, Vader. We prijzen uw naam daarvoor, Vader. Vader, we bidden voor de kinderen en hun ouders, Vader. Ook, Vader, bidden we en voor de zuster Marlène en broeder Cor. We bidden, Vader, voor alle gospelradio's. Vader, we brengen alle bestanden voor uw troon van genade, Vader. Wilt u zegenen, Heiland, Jezus Christus. Vader, we willen ook zo de vluchtelingen voor uw troon van genade brengen, Vader. Wilt u ook over hen beschermen, Vader. Vader, we komen met de mensen van het zendingsveld, Vader. We bidden ook, Vader, voor alle gemeentes, alle voorgangers, mijn Heiland. Vader, en we vragen een zegen, Vader. Zegen en zo rijkelijk, Vader. We prijzen uw naam daarvoor. Vader, we bidden Jeruzalem vrede toe, Vader. Mogen we uw liefhebber rust genieten. We danken u, Vader. We danken u dat u helpt, Vader. U bent de helper, groot van kracht en steeds bereid. Ja, luisteraars, we gaan naar onze Bijbelleesplan. En onze Bijbelleesplan komt uit Handelingen, hoofdstuk 5. Ananias en Safira. Handelingen, hoofdstuk 5. Ananias en Safira. En we gaan nu naar onze ochtendtekst. Onze ochtendtekst, lieve luisteraars, komt eveneens uit Handelingen, hoofdstuk 5. En het zegt, hoe kon gij aan deze daad in uw hart plaatsgeven? Ge hebt niet tegen mensen gelogen, maar tegen God. Handelingen, vers 5. Onder de krachtige werking van de Heilige Geest kon in de eerste eeuw geen leugen bestaan. Een duidelijk bewijs van de achteruitgang der kerk is wel dat heden de leugen en andere grove zonden niet dadelijk bestraft worden, zoals in de eerste christengemeente, wanneer het volle evangelie straks de gehele wereld zal overheersen. Joël 2. Tussen haakjes, zal er in de gemeente God niet zo gemakkelijk meer gezondigd worden? Hoe kon gij aan deze daad in uw hart plaatsgeven. Gij hebt niet tegen mensen gelogen, maar tegen God. Luisteraars, dan gaan wij naar onze Bijbelleesplan. Onze Bijbelleesplan, nogmaals luisteraars, komt uit Handelingen hoofdstuk 5, Ananias en Safira. En een zekere man, met name Ananias met zijn vrouw Safira, verkocht een eigendom, hield iets van de opbrengst achter met medeweten van zijn vrouw en bracht een zekere deel en legde het aan de voeten der apostelen. Maar Peter zeide, Ananias, waarom heeft de Satan uw hart vervuld om de Heilige Geest te bedriegen en iets achter te houden van de opbrengst van het stuk land? Als het onverkocht gebleven was, bleef het dan niet van u? En was na de verkoop de opbrengst niet te uw beschikking? Hoe kon gij deze daad in uw hart plaatsgeven? Gij hebt niet tegen mensen gelogen, maar tegen God. En bij het horen van deze woorden viel Ananias neder en blies de adem uit. En een grote vrees kwam over allen die het hoorden. En de jonge mannen stonden op en legden hem af. En zij droegen hem uit en begroeven hem. En het geschiedde, na verloop van ongeveer 3 uur, dat zijn vrouw binnenkwam, onkundig van wat er gebeurd was. En Petrus antwoordde haar, zeg mij, heb gij het stuk land voor zoveel verkocht? En zij zeide, ja, voor zoveel. En Petrus zeide tot haar, hoe heb gij kunnen overeenkomen om de geest des Heren te verzoeken? Zie, de voeten van hen die uw man hebben begraven zijn aan de deur en zij zullen u ook uitdragen. En zij viel terstond neder voor zijn voeten en blies de adem uit. En de jonge mannen kwamen binnen en vonden haar dood en zij droegen haar uit en begroeven haar bij haar man. En een grote vrees kwam over de gehele gemeente en over allen die dit hoorden. Vers 12, tekenen en wonderen. En door de handen der apostelen geschieden vele tekenen en wonderen onder het volk. En zij waren allen eendrachtig bijeen in de zuilengang van Salomo. Doch van de anderen durfde niemand zich bij hem aan te sluiten, maar het volk stelde hen hoog. En des te meer werden er toegevoegd die de Heere geloofden, tal van mannen zowel als vrouwen. Zo zelfs dat men de zieken op straat droegen en op bedden en matrassen legden. Opdat wanneer Petrus voorbij kwam, ook maar zijn schaduw op iemand van hen zou vallen. En ook de menigte uit de steden rondom Jeruzalem stroomde toe en brak zieken en door onreine geesten gekweld en zij werden allen genezen. Vers 17. Gevangenneming en bevrijding van de apostelen. Maar de hoge priester stond op en allen die met hem waren, de zogenaamde partij van de Sadduceeën, en zij werden vervuld met naijver. En zij sloegen de handen aan de apostelen en zetten hen in het huis van bewaring. Maar een engel des Heren opende desnachts de deuren van de gevangenis en leidde hen naar buiten en zeide: gaat heen, gaat in de tempel staan en spreek tot het volk al deze woorden des levens. En zij gaven daaraan gehoor en gingen tegen de ochtend de tempel binnen en leerden. Toen nu de hoge priester was aangekomen en die met hem waren, riepen zij de raad bijeen, de gehele vergadering van de oudsten der kinderen Israëls. En zij zonden dienaars naar de kerker om hen te laten voorkomen. Doch de dienaars daar aangekomen vonden hen niet in de gevangenis. En zij keerden terug en brachten het bericht mede. Wij vonden wel de kerker zeer zorgvuldig gesloten en de wachters voor de deuren op hun post. Maar toen wij hem openden, vonden wij er niemand in. Toen nu de hoofdman van de tempel en de overpriesters deze woorden hoorden, waren zij erover in verlegenheid, wat daarvan komen zou. Maar er kwam iemand hen met het bericht: zie, de mannen die gij hebt gevangen gezet, staan in de tempel en zij leren het volk. Vers 26. Het verhoor van de apostelen en de raad van Gamaliel. Toen ging de hoofdman met zijn dienaren erheen en nam hen mede. Maar niet met geweld, want zij waren bevreesd dat het volk hen stenigen zou. En toen zij hen gebracht hadden, leidden zij hen voor de raad. En de hoge priester ondervroegen hem, zeggende: wij hebben u nadrukkelijk verboden in deze naam te leren. En zie, gij hebt Jeruzalem vervuld, niet met uw leer, en gij wilt het bloed van deze mens op ons doen neerkomen. Maar Petrus en de apostelen antwoorden en zeiden: men moet Goden meer gehoorzamen dan de mensen. De God onze vaderen heeft Jezus opgewekt, die gij hebt gehangen aan een hout en omgebracht. Hem heeft God door zijn rechterhand verhoogd tot een leidsman en heiland om Israël bekering en vergeving van zonden te schenken. En wij zijn getuigen van deze dingen. En ook de Heilige Geest, die God hun gegeven heeft, die hem gehoorzaam zijn. Toen zij dit hoorden, ontstaken zij in woede en wilden hen ter dood laten brengen. Maar een zeker fariseer, in de raad genaamd Gamaliel, een wetgeleerde in ere bij het gehele volk, stond op en verzocht de mensen een ogenblik buiten te doen staan. En hij zeide tot hen: mannen van Israël, overweeg wel wat gij met deze mensen zult doen, want voor deze dagen stond Judas op, die beweerde dat hij iets was en een aantal van ongeveer 400 man sloot zich bij hem aan. Maar hij werd gedood en zijn gehele aanhang viel uiteen en verliep. Na hem stond Judas de Galileer op in de dagen der inschrijving en kreeg vele afvalligen op zijn hand, maar ook deze is omgekomen en zijn gehele aanhang is uiteengeslagen. En nu zeg ik u, laat u niet in met deze mensen en laat hen geworden. Want indien dit streven of dit werk uit mensen is, zal het vernietigd worden. Maar indien het uit God is, zul gij hen niet kunnen vernietigen. Het mag eens blijken dat gij tegen God strijdt. En zij lieten zich door hem gezeggen. En na de apostelen voorgeroepen te hebben, lieten zij hen gijzelen en verboden hun te spreken in de naam van Jezus en gaven hun de vrijheid. Zij dan gingen uit de raad weg, verblijd dat zij verwaardigd waren terwille van de naam smadelijk behandeld te zijn. En zonder ophouden, iedere dag, leren zij in de tempel en aan huis en verkondigden het evangelie dat Christus Jezus is. Ja, luisteraars. En dan kom ik weer bij vers 32. Die zegt, en wij zijn getuigen van deze dingen en ook de Heilige Geest die God hun gegeven heeft, die hem gehoorzaam zijn. Toen zij dit hoorden, ontstaken zij in woede en wilden hen in dood laten, ter dood laten brengen. Luisteraars, het staat ook in vers 36. Want voor deze dagen stond Judas op, die beweerde dat hij iets was, en een aantal van ongeveer 400 man sloot zich bij hem aan, maar hij werd gedood en zijn gehele aanhang viel uiteen en verliep. Ja, lieve luisteraars, wij moeten toch gehoorzaam zijn aan de Heer. We moeten luisteren aan zijn stem, want hij is wonderbare raadsman. Hij is de sterke God, de vredevorst. Niemand zal tegen hem opkomen, niemand, want hij is Heer over alles. Hij is onze heiland, hij is onze redder, onze bevrijder, onze genezer, onze voorziener. En hij is zo barmhartig. Luisteraars, ik dank u dat u mee hebt gelezen en dat wij altijd moeten zeggen, de Heer is onze herder. Niets zal ons ontbreken. Ik groet u allen. En met broeder Con en zuster Marlene zo tezamen. En de Heer zegene u rijkelijk. In Jezus naam. Amen.
Amen, zuster Emma. Dank u wel ook vannacht voor de bijdrage dat u geleverd heeft. Zo de Heer het leidt tot morgen.
Dank u wel, broeder Con.
En weltoerusten voor straks.
Ja, gisteravond dat ik ook geluisterd.
Ik weet het wel.
Ja, ik kan zitten luisteren. Ja, hoor, broeder Cor.
Goed, dan zeg maar.
Ja. Dag, broeder Cor.
Dan zeg maar. En u heeft kunnen lezen naar het openingsgebed en het Bijbelleesplan door zuster Emma gebracht. Symphony Radio tot 1 uur nu met prachtige zomerse gospelnummers. Even een correctie. Het is nu tijd voor Pastor Samuel Lee met het gesproken woord in het Engels.
This is Samuel Lee, World Evangelism, reaching the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dr. Samuel Lee brings you a dynamic life-changing message from the World Evangelism Center in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. As you listen to this message, your life will never be the same again.
Hallelujah. Well, last week I started teaching with you about money. And I told you that we will continue this week our message about money. And today I want just to teach you, is it possible? Just to teach you to relax and listen to me what I'm going to tell you. Because I teach you last week that certain countries, Christianity has been used to bless them. I told you that about 20 years ago, the national income of Ghana was almost the same as the national income of South Korea. And today, South Korea is far ahead than the national income of Ghana. How comes? Why certain countries prosper, certain people prosper, and why the others are not prospering? And I want just today to talk about that with you. So just feel free. And there is only one verse that I want you to repeat after me. And then close your Bibles and relax and listen to me. Say with me, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, do it for the glory of God. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, do it for the glory of God. Now, that is our verse today. And I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to teach you. Almost 100 years ago, there was a scientist, and his name is Max Weber. He's a German sociologist. He even don't believe in God. He doesn't even know. He's not even a Christian. And he made the research in those days in Europe, and he saw that certain countries in Europe are doing economically better than some other countries. And he discovered that northern European countries, let's say Holland, Scandinavian countries, some part of Germany, he discovered that they are doing well in their finances. And some other countries in Europe, like Italy, like Spain, like Portugal, they are not doing well economically. So he was very curious, what is the reason for this? Why these countries are doing well, and why not the southern countries in Europe, like Italy, Portugal, like Spain? Why? What is the reason for that? And he put all the data, you know, in those days they didn't have computer, put it all in tables and begin to research, and he discovered something. He discovered that all these rich countries, all these countries that are doing well in Europe, they have one thing in common. And what is that? They are all Protestant. And he discovered that all of those who are doing less good in Europe, they belong to the Catholic denomination. Now, this is very interesting. This man is even a non-believer. And it is true, even today, if you go to some Catholic countries, they are still suffering. Hello. If you come to even Germany, Germany is a Protestant country. Even in Germany, the Catholics do less better than the Protestants. That is what the man discovered. And even in Canada, that is a very rich and advanced country, they made the research and discovered that Catholics do less better than the Protestants. Then he began to discover something. He began to see a pattern that why certain nations, they are doing better than the other ones. And he began to discover that that is the mentality that they are taking from the gospel. And especially, he find out, is not only the Protestants that are prospering, but a certain group in Protestants, and they call them the Presbyterians or the Calvinists. That's why today you are saying you are living in a Calvinist country, because Holland is a Calvinist society. Hello. Are you listening to me? Because Papa wants to teach you something very interesting today. Hello. So he discovered that Presbyterians or the Calvinists, they are doing better than any other denomination, and he wanted to know what is the reason that the Calvinist people or the Presbyterian people, they are doing better than any other denomination. What is concerning about money? Now, he went and discovered this, that the Presbyterians or the Calvinist people, they have a certain doctrine. Now, I'm going to teach you about the doctrine of the Presbyterian or the Calvinist denomination. There are three doctrines, only with one of them I don't agree. But I'm still going to preach it to you, and then you will understand that why these countries have economic prosperity. All right. Don't forget, what is the financial capital of the world? Who can tell me? Which country? Huh? Switzerland. Switzerland. Everybody put his money in Switzerland. Did you know that Calvinism and Presbyterianism started in Switzerland? The financial center of the world is in Switzerland. So those people who want to be rich, 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 you know where it is? Geneva, Zurich. And it is in that country Calvinism started. Now, what does Calvinism say? What does Calvinism say? It is, that is what we need actually in our churches and in our countries, back in Africa, back in any other country. That is what we need. Now, there is one doctrine in the Calvinism or in the Presbyterian. And that is this. They are talking about predestination. How many of you know predestination? They say that God knows everything in advance. Hello. Isn't it? They say, Presbyterians say, God knows everything in advance. So God also knows in advance that you are going to be a Christian. God knows in advance you are going to walk and fall. He knows everything in advance. But there is one problem. Because in that theology of the Calvinist society, there is one problem. They are talking about the selected ones. They are talking about elite group. And they say, how sure are you that you are among the chosen? They say, yeah, I have chosen for Jesus. He said, yes, you have chosen for Jesus, but did he choose for you? You understand what I'm saying? You go to church. That is what you do. How sure are you that Jesus chose for you? How can you be sure that Jesus is with you? That is their theology. And they say that the only sign that Jesus is with you is found in the Old Testament. And what do they say? They say all the men of God prospered. They say in the Bible, men of God were rich. You understand? So if God is with you, this is the doctrine that I don't agree with them. I am not agree with that. But this is what they are teaching in the churches. You understand? Papa don't agree with it. But I want you to know about it. It's very interesting. So if God is with you, we have to go to the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, all the men of God were rich. So if you want to be sure that God is with you, you must be rich. That is a sign that God has blessed you. That is a sign of prosperity. I don't agree with that, because I believe there are poor people that still God bless them and God love them. But these people, they are teaching that in the churches. Now, the problem with this is that how sure are you that you are among the selected? The sign is that you are doing well financially. They are very money conscious. You are doing well financially. Now, how are we sure that you are doing well financially? This is it. You have to work. You have to work. Catholic people say, leave your work and go to the monastery. But the Presbyterian says, no, bring the church. This is what I love from them. Bring the church to your working place. Bring the church to your working place. This is why Europe grew economically 100 years ago. And then what did they say? They said, if you want to know God is blessing you, work hard. Work hard. But there is one more teaching that they are adding on their teaching. And that is what we don't like. But it is very good. And you know what that is. They say, when you work in your working place, you are not working for your boss. You are working for God. You understand? This is their theology. This is their theology. So in other words, when the boss is not around, you are still doing the best service you can. Some people, as soon as the boss is not there, they don't do other things. When the boss comes, they do as if they are doing the work of for the company. Can you understand me? This is the secret why these people were blessed. Because they considered that the job that they do for their boss, they are not doing it for their boss. They are doing it for... Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. Since they are doing the job for the Lord, they have to do it perfect. Hello? You are not catching Papa's point. Since you are doing the job for God, you must do it perfect. In other words, no cheating, no lying, and do your business as best as possible. In other words, when you make a product, make it best. When you give a service, do it best. Be the best. When you are the best, you are doing it for God. That is where many Christians, Pentecostals fall. They say, Holy Spirit gives, Holy Spirit take away. No problem. Holy Spirit understand. This has nothing to do with Holy Spirit. When you are in a work, when you are working for a boss, you are not working for your boss. You are serving the Lord. And when you serve the Lord and you do it as best as possible, you begin to produce good products. And when you begin to produce good products, more people buy them. Come on. Hello. Hello. More people buy them. The more people buy them, the more money you get. That is how Korea become rich. Korean country became rich because of Christians. But many people, they have the, I don't like my work. I don't want, you talk bad about your work. Even the work you get, you are complaining. Don't do that. God will not bless you. Be happy with your work. See your boss as if you are working for God. Produce something. Give your best as you are working. Then you will see God will bless you. And when you are blessed, you make more money. Now, there is an issue now. That comes the next doctrine. You know, the money that you earn, according to the Calvinist people, are not your money. That is, here it comes. It's not your money, it is God's money. So you cannot use it for your pleasure. That's why Calvinist people, they have no time for pleasure. Only one time a year holiday. The rest work, work, work. They like to work. Koreans, they like to work. I've never seen a Korean take more than 2 weeks holiday. Even if they come to Europe, Korean people, they want to see in 4 days the entire Europe. 2 hours, they see Geneva. 3 hours, they see Paris. 5 hours, they see Rome. They go back working. That's Koreans. But Catholic mentality, no problem. Tomorrow. Relax. Catholic people, they don't worry about, they look differently to poverty. Catholic people say, if you are poor, it is the will of God for you to be poor, and it is good to be poor. You accept it. It is good. That is why when you go to a Catholic country and you go to a poor area, they are more relaxed. They are sitting, drinking, relaxed. If you go to a poor country, poor area in England, it's totally different. They are frustrated. Can you see that? Protestant countries, the poor area, people are frustrated. They are angry. But you go to the poor of Catholics, relax tomorrow. Ah, no problem. Tomorrow, relax. Let's enjoy. Hello? Are you listening? But you have either choose this one or that one. If you want to relax, relax. You will earn nothing and you're still poor. Hello? Somebody listening to me? So, they say all the money that you are earning through good business. Listen to me. Everybody loves good service. Everybody loves. It doesn't matter what you are doing. Are you a cleaner? Do it good. Are you working in the office? Be good. Be honest. You will see God will prosper you. God will bless you. Now, what do the Calvinist people say? They say all the money that you earn is not yours. So don't use it for gambling or eating or buying lottery and this and that. No. All the money is belonging to God. So what do? They say 10% we give it to the church. 90% we are not allowed to have pleasure. Calvinist people, they don't like too much pleasure. Relax. They want to work hard. So they say, what are we going to do with the rest? They begin to quote Bible. And what do they quote in the Bible? They say there was a master who had three sons, three servants. He gave to one of them four, to one of them two, and to one of them one denarii. And he said, go and use them. And they went, and the two invested. The other one buried in the ground. When he come back, those who have invested doubled the money. And the master said, well done, you good leader, you good servant. But the other one who didn't do anything, what did he do? He said, go away from me. Hello. Now, they use that part. And so what do the Presbyterians do? The money that they earn, one-tenth to give to the church. And they don't give the money to the poor people. They give it to the church. This is their mentality. And the 90%, they invest. They buy buildings. They buy houses. They invest in the church properties. They do so many things. And when they invest, they earn more money. When they earn more money, they pay more tithe. When they pay more tithe, they invest. When they invest, they pay more tithe. And on and on and on. And that is why today, Presbyterian countries are doing very well because of the Presbyterian mentality that they are having. Korea is one of them. South Korea, if you are a church and you go to a bank, they immediately give you a loan because banks are in the hands of churches. But here, if you go to a country today and say, hey, I want to open a church, don't talk about it. Nowadays, they don't believe anymore. I'm talking about many years ago in Holland, Calvinistic. Nowadays, no more. You understand what I'm talking about? So they invest. The more they invest, the more they work hard, they earn money. The more they earn money, they pay tithe. You see, today in South Korea, hospitals are in the hands of Christians. Big businesses are in the hands of Christians. Even government is in the hands of Christians. Why? Because of the faithfulness of Christians. They are very faithful with the money that they earn. They know how to invest their money. You know, poor people, you know why they are poor? As soon as the money comes, immediately they eat it. And don't get mad at me now. Immediately, let me buy another suit. My brother, don't buy suit. Save. Save and use it for good things. Why are you quiet now? Are you listening to me? You see, that is why certain countries are doing better. Look at Catholic countries, Latin America, all poor, suffering. But Protestant countries, they are blessed. Not because they are supernatural, no. Because there are certain principles that they never break. They pay their tithe, they invest their money. And when they invest their money, they invest more. When they have more, they build hospitals. They don't go just to give money to the poor. No, they say, if I give money to the poor, he will waste it. Let me make a hospital. Let me make a school. Let me make a this. Let me make a that. And so they have influence in society. Now, my question from you today is, how do you view your life? How do you view your work? What do you see inside of you, my brothers and sisters? Are you serious with God? Are you serious with your finances? Because if you are serious with finances and you bring discipline in your finances, I guarantee you God will bless you. God will bless you. Hello. How can I be blessed? Number one, begin to be faithful with the work you do. And I'm talking about the righteous work, eh? Hello, I don't mean that you go and pray and fast to rob a bank. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not easy. Because that is happening. They go pray together. They put guns down. Father, today bless our robbery. That's not what I'm talking about. Do you want to be financially blessed? Be honest to the work you are doing and cherish your work and do the work as if you are doing it for God. In other words, when you are cleaning the house of your boss, don't throw the dirt under the carpet. Clean it well. Hello. Don't say, oh, this is good. No problem. This is good. Accept it when you are giving a service. No. Do it with all your heart. Don't say, my boss is not good. Don't worry about your boss. You are not doing it for boss. You do it for God. And when you do it for God, you are bringing forth integrity. When you bring forth integrity, people begin to like you. When people begin to like you, you begin to earn more money. When you earn more money, you can give tithe and you can invest again and on and on and on. Where do you invest your money and time? Where? I told you before, some of you, your countries are filled with land. Why don't you buy them? Save money in place of buying shoes, Gucci Armani suit. One Armani suit is 600 euro. With 600 euro, you can buy 1 meter land. Hello. In place of using expensive gel in your hair, use a cheap one from Hema. And save your money and do something in your country and begin to bless your countries. You see, that is the problem. We are always sitting and blaming the white man. Oh, it's the white man who did it. Leave the white man alone with his life. You continue with your life. You begin to be serious. You begin to do your work. You begin to love your job. You begin... Oh, Jesus Christ. I feel like preaching today. Hallelujah. You see, the other day I was talking with a young gentleman. I said to him, young gentleman, in our church, we have so many young gentlemen that they are doing nothing. Sorry to say, don't get angry to me. They are doing nothing. Undocumented, one. No wife, two. No family, three. Moving around, four. Nothing. I said to him, young man, why not we come together? You come together with a group of people. You know, take a necktie. Open the necktie, make an operation. See how somebody can make a necktie. Gather together, brothers, begin to cut the scarf, make a necktie, put Made in Holland on it, send it to your countries. Make money. And I say this to many gentlemen. You know what the many gentlemen told me? Many of them. He said, Pastor, our problem is we cannot unite. You see, one person from my country will not allow the other one from another province to be the head. But Chinese people, don't get mad at me now. Chinese people, they don't care. You go to Milan, you go to Rome, you see confections in the houses. 20 Chinese, they are making. Ship, 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 ship. That's why the European economy is shaking because of Chinese. You know why? Because they are united. We people, we don't even value our countries. We don't want somebody from our country to become top. No, if he becomes top, we empty his leg. Let him fall down. And when he falls down, we say it is the devil. It's the devil. He is from the devil, that's why. Please don't get mad at me now. I don't want to come to church and say, healed, healed, God bless you. Come on, the time of those things is over. We need to be adults. We need to be serious with the word of God. Am I not right? There are so many people, you are doing nothing. Morning, you wake up, you watch CNN, you go to bed with CNN. You do nothing. Why not come 2-3 friends together, begin to make something, begin to make handkerchiefs, begin to make something. It is worth it. A man should work to earn money. A man should work. A man should not sit down and do nothing. I am your papa. I am your pastor. I love you. I want you to be the best. Don't sit down, do nothing. Young man, young woman, be faithful to the thing you make. You make a handkerchief, put your heart in it. You see, people like it. Cook, put your life. Why I don't see African restaurants here in Holland? Why I see full of Chinese? I see full of Thailand. I see full of Greek and Italian. Why I don't see an African? Not only because Africans, they don't have visa. Many of them, they have. But you know why they don't want? Because we are not supporting each other. We don't want the other one to grow. We don't want the other one to be the best. Be faithful to each other. Be faithful. I am not even an African or a Filipino or wherever I come from. I'm faithful to you. If you come to me and you humiliate Africa, you have a problem. We Christians, I don't understand us Christians. You know, Muslims, if you humiliate their prophet, they chop your head. But if you humiliate Jesus, no problem. So I don't say go and kill people. But even Muslims are becoming angry when somebody humiliates Jesus. And we Christians are sitting doing nothing. We don't know nothing. What is wrong with us? I want to challenge you. Be the best in the things you do. When you are the best, you do it for God. When you do it for God, God will reward you. When God rewards you, you will be blessed financially. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The problem is, look, Africa has gold. Philippines has minerals. India is sleeping full of so many things. But India is rising now because they begin to realize, united we can do more. Let us be serious. But we are still emptying each other's legs. We are still saying, don't get mad at me. Oh, this one is from Yoruba. This one is from Igbo. And this one is from Hausa. And this one is Asante. And this one is Ga. This one is from Friesland. Hey, my brothers, we are all human beings. We are one. We should not even look at those things. We should not even look at the tribe we are coming from. I don't give my daughter to marry to Igbo. Hey, what is wrong with you? And we want to be blessed. No. If we are divided, if we are not faithful to our jobs, if we are not faithful to the things we do, other people will come and plunder us. And they are going to stand there and say, oh, they are chopping us. Because we let them chop us. Come on now, I feel like preaching today. Why this country is prospered? And you know, in Presbyterian churches, this is very interesting for you to know. In Presbyterian churches, the sign of blessing is money. So elders of a church are only businessmen. They put only businessmen as elders. You don't see a poor man elder. All elders are all business managers, bank managers, school teachers, professors. They are like that. That is Presbyterian people. Is it not good that we a little bit learn from them? Begin to practice discipline. Begin to cherish our work. begin to love the things we do, then we will be blessed.